Welcome back to the show. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, the Commanders lock up Terry McLaurin. But what does it mean for the rest of their season? We're going to bring in the great Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show here on the Team 980 in D.C. and talk about it. Aren't you just glad this story is over? I know as a Commanders fan, I'm just like, oh, thank God. It's been going on. It's like the Trey Hendrickson thing. My God. Like the Micah Parsons thing. These contract negotiations drag out for so long. And they're fascinating. There's no question about it. But after a while, like how many more things can you say about this guy means a lot to his team and ownership isn't really budging and now he wants to be traded? It's just like rinse and repeat again and again. And on the football field, look, the Commanders needed Terry back. But after a while, you sort of get exhausted with the whole process.
Well, at least this one was like in the world of like common sense and logic. Fair. Like I like talking about that one way more than what we've got going on with the circus with the Cowboys. Like every day there's a new Jerry Jones soundbite that you're like, is this really true? Probably not. So at least the Commanders handled this like real world people with common sense and logic. So I will hand it to the Commanders in that sense.
Yeah, they definitely handled it the right way. And the best part about it all is now, with about a week and a half until that season opener against the Giants, we can put this behind us and focus on football. So let's do that and bring in Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, also host of the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Kevin, good morning. We really appreciate the time. And let me ask you, I mean, look, you're a local legend here in D.C. You cover the Commanders again and again and again, going back to the Redskins days. So how glad are you to finally have a little bit of a resolution here for a contract dispute that I don't think anyone thought would drag out for this long?
Well, you know the market, Mike, and it's always about something, you know, all season long. And this was the first summer that you kind of went into with real expectations and no real controversies. You know, there's no quarterback conversation, which is an annual. And it actually, you know, gave us something to talk about for a while. But it did grow very old and tiresome. And I still think there's some stuff left in this. It's going to be interesting to see what this deal really looks like when it comes out. I'm interested in that stuff. I know it's not for everybody, but yeah, it's good to have him in the, you know, under contract. He was going to have to play anyway. There's no possible way he could have sat out at 30 years old on the last year of his deal. And this is going to be a really good football team offensively again.
I feel like people always want to label a winner and a loser of things. Maybe that's, you know, being a part of the sports world. But do you think there is a winner and a loser here? Like, who won these negotiations?
Well, I mean, I think we'll find out when we see the deal. You know, the agent put out the, you know, the average annual and the years, and what was, you know, very much missing and was obvious was the guaranteed dollars, and I think that'll say a lot. But yeah, I mean, I think when you've invested in conversation after conversation to the point of exhaustion, you'd like to see how kind of the movie played out rather than just being told, hey, it happened, it's over. So I'm interested in the details. I think a lot of fans are too. But yeah, I mean, who won, who lost? The team won, the fan base won, because Terry's going to presumably play in a much sort of happier environment for him. Hopefully he feels like the deal he got was respectful and appreciative of what he is as a player and what he's going to provide going forward. And you know, again, I think he was going to play anyway. He was going to have to, but this is a much better situation for the team, the fan base. I think they're going to be really good on offense.
Kevin, can you sort of put in perspective for the national audience here what Terry means to this franchise? Because it's different than a Micah Parsons. It's different than a Trey Hendrickson, because those guys are, not that they aren't loved by the fan bases, but it's really about production. And here, it's a little different with Terry because he stuck with this team before the change in ownership and really the change in this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think Terry, first of all, is a really good wide receiver. Secondly, he's been a really good statesman for this franchise, spokesperson for this franchise. He's comfortable that way. He is not the typical receiver. He's the anti, you know, typical receiver. There's no diva in him at all. And during these very dark years, and you're familiar with them, you know, he was certainly one of the brightest lights. But I think it was hard during some of those years to see anything great, you know, through the last, you know, three or four Snyder years, where all of the focus was pretty much on what was going on off the field more than it was on the field. But Terry is first rate, first class, a culture setter, and has been a very good player.
All right, so I've noticed a couple times in this interview already, you've said they're going to be really good on offense. Is there a reason you're not saying the whole team? What are your thoughts on their defense?
I mean, last year, they were not a very good defensive team. They were horrific against the run. And it speaks to just how great Jaden Daniels was, that week in and week out, he basically strapped the team to his back and carried them to victories, you know, many times in kind of walk-off fashion. But this was a team that was, you know, porous against the run. They were not great overall in getting off the field. And that's the concern, is they're going to play on paper a much tougher schedule, much better quarterbacks on paper right now, the way it looks. A slew of outstanding running backs in running teams. And they've got to be improved defensively if they're going to match what they did last year, which is have a legitimate chance to go deep into January. And I think that is now an expectation that we're not used to around here. It's been a long time, but the expectation is, you know, double digit wins and a chance to win a few playoff games and make a run at a Super Bowl. And I think that only takes place if they ended up improving themselves defensively. And I think that there's hope that they did. You know, they added new players. They got bigger up front with Javon Kinlaw. And, you know, I think look at Daron Payne without John Allen this year. I think there's a chance he has a big year in what is almost a borderline contract year for him. But that's the mystery. The offense is not a mystery. They should be great offensively as long as Five's on the field. Defensively, they've got to be better against the run in particular.
We're talking with Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Kevin Sheehan Show on Team 980. Also hosts the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Kevin, you know, I hear this a lot from fans who, you know, are not Washington fans, which is, well, what about a sophomore slump? What about what we saw from C.J. Stroud? Why does that not happen with Jaden Daniels?
I just don't see a flaw, Michael. I mean, he literally is a rookie, strapped the team to his back and took him to an NFC championship game, the sixth rookie quarterback in NFL history to do it, and the only one to do it where the offense was the reason they got there, and the quarterback was the reason they got there. He throws the ball well deep. He throws the ball well in the intermediate range. He throws the ball with great timing, with great touch. He is obviously one of the two or three best playmaking quarterbacks in the league off schedule as a runner, both as a designed runner, option runner, and then, you know, in a scramble situation. Last year, you know, I'm not sure I've ever seen, other than maybe Vic and Lamar, a better scrambler off schedule. There just isn't anything you can point to. And like, we've talked a lot about it on the show. It's like, what are we going to say this year when he does something that surprises us? Nothing will. That's the answer, is that we're not going to say at any point this year, oh my God, thank God he really improved that, because he wasn't very good at that as a rookie. He was great at everything as a rookie, not to mention just the clutch gene and the clutch factor of delivering over and over again with the game on the line. So, I don't know. Dan Marino's best year was his second year. You look at Josh Allen after his first year of starting, his second year was spectacular. There are a lot of examples of, you know, outstanding rookie quarterbacks who didn't decline in year two. And the truth is, with Stroud, he was decent last year. The O-line struggled. They still won 10 games in a playoff game at home against the Chargers.
Right. Can you make a case for Jaden Daniels to win MVP, though? Because I've heard all the gushing, and I agree with you. Jaden Daniels, so fun to watch, But I think as far as numbers go, you got to have those eye-popping stats. Like last year, Jaden Daniels, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Lamar Jackson had 41 touchdowns and 4 picks, and he didn't even win the MVP. Do you think Jaden Daniels is capable of putting up those type of numbers?
I do, but I also agree with you. Like, I think that there will be quarterbacks ahead of him that will put those eye-popping numbers up, and you're going to have to look at the, you know, entire context of his performance, because it'll be a combination of 3,500 to 4,000 passing yards and 600-plus rushing yards and a bunch of touchdowns on the ground and a bunch of, you know, late game wins potentially if he duplicates what he did last year. But I do think he can win it. We've certainly seen a guy last year. What did he finish, 6th or 7th in the voting, 8th or 9th, whatever it was? He's a candidate. I wouldn't make him the favorite, but he's certainly a candidate.
Kevin, when you look at this team, what's the one thing that maybe worries you the most? Is it the defensive line? Is it maybe the lack of depth at receiver because they haven't really had anyone step up? They want Luke McCaffrey to be that guy, but he hasn't done it. What's the one area where you think, okay, this could be a problem?
Yeah, it's defense. I mean, it's are they going to be improved? Last year, they weren't good enough. It really showed up in the NFC Championship game when Philadelphia could have named their number. The number was 55, but if they had needed 65, they would have been able to get it. And I think it starts with, you know, up front and the ability to stop the run in their front 7. And we'll see, you know, early on. I mean, they're going to get Josh Jacobs in week 2. They're going to get the kid Genty. They're going to get Bijan Robinson early. They're going to be some really good backs that they face, and some decent offensive football teams that are balanced. So we'll get an early read on whether or not they're improved. But it's not that I'm majorly concerned. I just think it's a complete mystery. Defense tends to be variable year to year, you know, for no rhyme nor reason. You know, a bad defense one year becomes much better the following year, and you can't really identify sometimes why. Year 2 in this system should help, and additions like Kinlaw and even a guy like Von Miller, you know, Trey Amos is a rookie corner who they have high hopes for in his rookie year. Hopefully the personnel's better as well.
All right, we got a couple minutes left here, but so this will have to be a little tight, but what's the ceiling for the Commanders this year?
The Super Bowl. That's the ceiling.
Ah.
They're good enough. They have the best quarterback in the NFC. When you've got the best quarterback in your conference, you've got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I think that is – I've never been this optimistic in 20 years of doing this. It's always been how can we get to, like, 9-7 and backdoor our way into a wild card. But – they've got the best quarterback in the NFC. You can certainly make that argument, and that's the most important position in the sport, and that gives them a chance to win and win in January.
Check him out as host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, also host of the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. It is Kevin Sheehan. Kevin, great stuff this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I like hearing that. I mean, I try to temper, you know, I try to be realistic. You know, when I look at my favorite teams, and obviously the Commanders are right up there. But, man, when I hear someone who follows the team as much, if not more, than I do, someone who has been in D.C. and done fantastic work for years, say Super Bowl, got to admit, get a little tingly.
I've seen this story before, though. Like, I have fallen in love with a team with a really great quarterback, but people said, hey, maybe you shouldn't trust their defense. Maybe their defense has some flaws. Jenks, how many times have I put down money on the Bengals? You know, because it feels similar. You know, maybe the defense isn't the level of bad that the Bengals are like this year and last year. But like that was the handicap on the Bengals for a while. And, like they didn't win a Super Bowl. They came close.
Yeah.
But I have been jilted before on really, you know, sexy to bet on quarterbacks with teams that had a few flaws. Because how much of a flaw do you think a bad run defense is? Because like stopping the run in the NFC, we talked about it. When the Eagles are atop the mountain and you can't stop the run, that feels like a bad matchup.
It's going to be an issue, but they did sign Kinlaw. Von Miller's here, okay?
We can fix him.
It's good. But also, you know, I will also say that when you look at these preseason results, they held a ton of people back. Like, they just rarely played their starters. So, you know, unlike the Bengals, who played a lot of their starters, the Commanders didn't do so. I'm being on the positive side of things. Was it an issue last year? Of course. Can it get better? Yes. But just for now, since it's the preseason and everyone's undefeated, let's go Super Bowl. Coming up next. Still early in the week, but before we get to football bets, let's go to baseball. Those are coming your way next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.